Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two officially underway right here on the early line for a Tuesday morning. It's Joe and Donnie, the hottest topics. Yeah, we have everything covered here. Now, let's take a look at this. The NBA betting odds to win the championship. Now, conspiracy theorists, listen up here, Joe. You ready for this one? The Writers Guild of America has announced they're going on strike. So what does that mean? What happens now to the actual plays that we know who's going to win the NBA Finals? Does it throw things into a lurch? Are the sports books going to get upset with this, Joe? If you can't write out the rest of the playoffs here, how do we know who wins, Joe?
That's a solid point, because I don't know about you, Donnie, but I, for one, have made a lot of money over the years just following and tailing the Writers Guild and what they tell me as far as who's going to win games and championships. So, I might have to take the rest of the month off, Donnie. I'm telling you, I'm not. This news is disheartening on a level I was not expecting this early in the morning. So thanks for ruining my day.
And by the way, little do they know here at the Sports Grid Network, I was a writer for the NFL in 2017. You know why? The Philadelphia Eagles won a championship there. Pulitzer Prize, baby. Let's get back to the stuff that matters here. The NBA championship outright betting markets. I love to bring this up this morning because the Celtics were head over heels the favorites here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Still are, despite that loss to the Philadelphia 76ers, sitting at a 2-1 price. The Golden State Warriors, who open up against the Los Angeles Lakers tonight, they're a plus 450. The Nuggets are plus 460. But the fallers here seem to be the Phoenix Suns at a 9-1 price. The Celtics for me at 2-1. You know, take last night's game out of the equation. I do think they wind up in the NBA Finals, which is half the battle. You got to get to the finals if you want to actually win a championship. But I never agreed with their price. It just seems so short, Joe.
It is short. And can somebody tell me why nobody likes Denver? I don't
understand.
If there's anybody that has been totally disrespected, it has been the Denver Nuggets from a price point. They started this series plus money as the number one seed. You could actually bet them for the series to get plus money. They were always about the third or fourth choice, right, in the championship market. It's all been Boston. It's been everybody but Denver. And yet here they are up 2-0 in their series here against Phoenix. And yet we still can't get them as the favorite to win it all. It's kind of mind blowing. It really, really is.
Lakers after one series here, Joe, by the way, down to 10-1. The FanDuel Sportsbook had them posted around 22-1 before the playoffs actually begun. If you are going to take a flyer, which means maybe a 5-1 or higher, let's say, Sixers, Suns, Lakers, Knicks, and Heat, who is that flyer for you?
Well, I did take a flyer on the Heat because, well, you know, why not at this particular point here? But I do think that the Sixers, and it's a guess, but your Sixers, depending on what's going to happen here with Embiid, and they've done a really good job of not really pointing us in any sort of direction. I mean, if you listen to Doc Rivers, his comments lead us to believe, Donnie, like, oh, it's over. The sky is falling. He's doubtful at best. Oh, my goodness. Might have to amputate. I mean, like, what are we doing here? Like, is he coming back? Is he not coming back? What is going on? If he is able to come back, if they're confident he's able to come back, do not sleep on the Sixers. Do not hand this thing to Boston by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, the only clean MRI I've ever seen get worse the days after there and the travesty that it looks like Joel Embiid's knee actually is, and yet he was warming up on the court before game one. So we actually don't know what's actually going on in that spot here. You're watching and listening live here to the Early Line on a Tuesday morning, SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe and Donnie talking some NBA action, which includes who is actually the leader in the clubhouse right now to be NBA Finals MVP. It's really a correlation with the numbers of who you think is going to win the championship. Jason Tatum at a plus 320 price, Steph Curry at a 5-1, Nikola Jokic at a plus 550, Joel Embiid at a plus 650. And if you think that Kevin Durant can win a championship and bring that title to the Valley, he's 16-1. Where are you going here with the MVP odds right now, Joe?
Again, disrespected. Two-time MVP right there in the middle. His team's up 2-0. And again, he's not the favorite to win it at plus 550 there. Give me the Joker. I think he showed it again that, okay, you guys suck. I'm going to go ahead and win this game for us. True. And he did. And the I don't care who they're playing. You don't have an answer for the Joker. So as far as I'm concerned, it's just go Denver. All the value is in Denver in every future market you can find.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, too, because you look at Jokic, right? If they win, it's obviously because Jokic was a dominant player. He's by far the best player on their team. But if there's any way that the Miami Heat can win a world championship, Jimmy Butler's at 24-1. And if you tell me right now, hey, by the way, the Heat won, and you know who the MVP was? Max Strus, Kyle Lowry, yeah. Bam Adebayo.
Kevin Love.
Like, I would be absolutely, exactly, absolutely shocked. So, yeah, Kevin Love comes back, you know, plays six-man slash, you know, low-end starter minutes and ends up taking it down. But LeBron James at 19-1, Anthony Davis at 25-1. It's a pretty fun market the way it lines up. But if Jason Tatum does lead the Celtics at plus 320 price here, you get a little bit better than what the championship actually would be. And if you want to go way down there and say, all right, Klay Thompson gets hot for the Warriors, 65-1. D'Angelo Russell continues to star for the Lakers, a 500-1 ticket in your back pocket. It'll be interesting to see how these things actually play out. But a big game tonight there out on the West Coast for sure, which might go a long way to determining that overall. But you know where we're going to go next year? Major League Baseball, a hot day on the diamond on Monday. And how does that translate to actually the live action today on a Tuesday? Stick it right here on the grid with us, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two here in full effect. Time to talk some Major League Baseball. Now, there's a ton of games on the diamond daily here. That's what we love about Major League Baseball season. But sometimes it's hard to keep up with everything going on in major leagues. And how do you do that? The Sports Grid app. Injuries, scores, updates, and much, much more. Go to the App Store, download it. I promise you, it's worth its while. You want to keep up on the latest guys pounding home runs out of the ballpark, pitching extremely well, Ronald Acuna getting hit in the shoulder from a fastball, and you want to see how long that injury might be? It's the Sports Grid app. It's what you need, Joe. When you sit back, just get caught up to date. You could be driving in your car, pull over, you have a quick minute here, open up the app, take a look at it, and you are caught up, Joe, on everything.
Yep, one-stop shop, Donnie. It's a matter of efficiency, right? It's one of those big analytics we love to use in handicapping.
Yes.
Well, you should do it with your sources as well of information. And you've got just about everything you need in that app. So if you want to be a more profitable sports bettor, go ahead and download that app while you can. Get it done there in the App Store.
Making your life easier. Also, keep following us here on sportsgrid.com/watch to get in the know in Major League Baseball, which we're going to update you on now. Doubleheaders, Joe. I always like to joke. Has anybody in the history of Major League Baseball won both games of a doubleheader? Yes, they have. But yesterday, they didn't. The Braves, 9-8 in game one, 5-3 the Mets take down the Braves in game number two. The interesting part is the Braves got out to a hot start in game number one. And you figure to yourself, we got Strider on the mound. He's just going to lock it down. That game ends up a lot closer than what you thought it would be. Cooler temperatures up there at Citi Field, but the wind was blowing out, and it was apparent in game number one. 18 hits, 17 runs here, and the Braves got it done.
Yeah, well, Sean Murphy got it done in game one. You know, 2-3-run jacks will do that. He was responsible for 6 of the 9 Atlanta runs. Strider didn't even make, I think he made it went 5. He didn't strike out double digits, so I don't know what the hell's wrong with him. He did get 8 Ks, though, in the game. But listen, this game was way, it was 5-1, 6-1, you know, heading in, and kudos to the Mets for not giving up and trying to come back. It was 9-7. They ended up of getting one late, but unfortunately they came up a run short. But some injury situations there with Acuña in game two, and all of a sudden, you know, the Mets were able to get one back and get a nice split here. But all eyes are going to be, his starting pitching again is going to continue to be a an issue with the Mets until they can get some sort of continuity here, and we can figure out what this rotation is going to be on a consistent basis.
Yeah, continuity on the way here, maybe getting back your aces back-to-back with a suspension to Scherzer, and then Verlander coming back here from missing the early part of the season with some arm issues. But if you're taking a look yesterday, it's one of those things, Joe, in the doubleheaders where it's like, okay, the ball's flying out. They actually use 11 pitchers combined in game number one. So you thought maybe game number two would follow that same trend. By the sixth inning, they were trying to do it, but a 5-3 win here in the late game for the Mets evened up that division rivalry here. Now, the next game we're going to talk about, and rightfully so, the Yankees. Get to the ninth inning with a 2-0 lead. We know how good their bullpen typically is, and also some of their starting pitching that can hold it down. They don't have the bats in the lineup where they're going to outslug you 9-8 on a night-to-night basis with all those injuries, but that's a devastating loss. The Guardians come in now 14-15 on the season and take down the Yanks after scoring three runs in the top of the ninth inning.
So you send out Herman, right? He goes, you send him out for the ninth. He gets the first out. Then all of a sudden he gives up a hit. And then, of course, here he comes, right? Here comes Boone, comes out, goes to the goes to the bullpen, and they bring in their closer, right? Play off. Now, you would think, okay, this is perfect. What a game by Herman, right? Unbelievable pitching effort to go 8 1/3. You know, that gave up one hit there in the ninth inning, so they ended up pulling him. It should be in a 2-0 game, Donnie. It should be the easiest thing in the world for Clay Holmes to come in against the Guardians team that can't hit and shut the door, close it and get the save and give Herman the win, right? Yeah, no, that was not the case here. And unfortunately now for the Yankees, 7 of their last 9 have gone for losses. They can't score more than 2 runs in any one particular game, it feels like, and Judge is on the IL. So could it get worse? Maybe it's only uphill from here because what I saw last night from this team was they're losing games they should win now, which is even worse than losing games that you're supposed to win.
I asked Kevin this question yesterday, Joe, and I ask you the same thing. Is there a silver lining right now in the Yankees? Because right now you look at that team like, no, they're in dead last place. That's where they deserve. But we know the pressure gets ratcheted up in the Big Apple here, where you're fighting with the Mets for back page here. You already have a large payroll. People are playing outrageous sums of money to come to your game. So when you're not playing well, does this make them maybe make moves before the trade deadline here? Because you could say, all right, maybe we need another extra two bats in the lineup. But then once again, once we get healthy, hey, this lineup looks pretty good 1-6, 1-7 now, and we can do some damage later in the season. Is there any silver lining for the struggles here, which might force that front office to go out and make some moves before they actually wanted to?
Well, I mean, the bottom half of that order is atrocious, and they're all hitting under 200. I mean, it's awful. So, you know, you need the bottom half of that order to be able to, you know, deliver here, or I don't know, at least hit 220. But none of these guys can put the ball in play. The problem is it feels like the game has changed, right? You have teams like Pittsburgh and Arizona where they're not striking out a lot. They're putting the ball in play. They're making things happen. They're running the bases. And it feels like the Yankees lineup is stuck in, you know, old school. Well, if we don't hit a home run, you know, it's we can't score any runs. And that's going to be a problem. I hope that changes. Because the starting pitching is good enough and the bullpen is good enough. But boy, oh boy, they got to figure some things out here, 1-9 in this order. And they got to start making things happen, not only on the bases, but they got to start making some things happen at the plate. Put the ball in play and good things will happen. They just have not been able to do that here.
No doubt about it. How about this one? The Red Sox and the Blue Jays yesterday. 6-5 win for the Boston Red Sox as they walk off the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, Berríos coming into this game had very good analytical numbers. He got roughed up. 5 1/3, 11 hits, 5 earned runs, only 4 Ks in the loss there. Blue Jays now 9-8 on the road. The Red Sox 10-7 at home.
Yeah, no, and it, you know, you would have thought that that would have been good enough to win for Boston there, getting to Berrios. But the problem was Toronto got the Kluber too. It wasn't like he was great either. The over was definitely the way to look here. Five hits, three on runs. He walked four, struck out seven. Corey Kluber. But this was a game in which the Red Sox had the lead going into it late. They coughed it up, and then of course they had to rely on another walk off hit, I believe, by Verdugo, who homered, I think, to walk it off there, but which he seems to do a lot. This team loves to walk off, apparently. They don't make things easy on themselves. But entertaining game, but one that should have been a little bit easier to win for the Red Sox, given how they just destroyed him. I mean, destroyed Berrios.
Yeah, Giants really struggling also on the road here. 4-10 there after a 7-3 loss for the Houston Astros. The Astros did notch seven runs, which included the bottom of the seventh inning, putting up a five spot here. We're waiting on the Astros to get healthy, but they're certainly going to be in striking distance here at 16-13 on the season through about a month.
Yeah, can't trust the offense. Plus, you know, they were in the altitude in Mexico. They're playing the Padres. Sometimes that's not an easy thing coming down from the altitude there, having to play a game. But they did. I mean, they made this game interesting. They were up 3-2 for most of this game, and then Houston just kind of exploded there in the seventh and eighth innings, and then that was the end of it. But good win for Houston. Unfortunately, more and more injuries starting to pile up for them right now.
Yeah, can't afford that. You certainly can't afford that there, but it is a long season. We'll see if they get some of those guys back sooner than later. Two quick updates here. The Padres 8-3 over the Reds. Fernando Tatis back in his home ballpark with three base hits in that game, and the Philadelphia Phillies get shellacked by the Dodgers. 13-4, which include Mookie Betts with three hits, including a two-run home run. But tonight, the Philadelphia Phillies get back Bryce Harper into the lineup. We'll see how that plays out. And also, a big Major League Baseball schedule. We got you covered. Keep it right here on the early line on a Tuesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got a big night tonight in the NBA in that doubleheader. It's going to be fantastic to watch you play out. But Major League Baseball, full slate on a Tuesday, should be some really good stuff. It's Donnie, it's Joe. Let's break it all down and have some fun. Now, the first game we're going to look at, Pittsburgh and Tampa. If you'd have told me before the season it's his two first-place teams pulling up here, you'd say, well, maybe Tampa Bay, Joe. But how about the Pittsburgh Pirates? No way. Well, how about this? In the month of May, the first-place Pittsburgh Pirates. We don't have locked-in starters, so we don't have any official lines. But just looking at this overall, I wanted to bring the game up because, yes, it is a battle of two first-place teams. If we take a look at Tampa Bay, just from a hitting angle, how good they've been through the first 30 days, it's almost as if, Joe, when you line up the Tampa Bay Rays against any pitcher, they have great numbers. It looks like every single person in the lineup today against right-handed pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays has a 167 or higher ISO power number, which means everybody in the lineup is above average against right-handed pitching. But when we take a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates, Joe, no slouches either. If Fleming does take the mound, the left-handed pitcher here for the Tampa Bay Rays, he's got really solid numbers on the season. But take a look at this in the middle of the lineup. McCutchen, Santana, Joe, and Castro, 384, 463, 517, and 523 weighted on base averages against left-handed pitching. No lines up here, but we're anticipating a really good baseball game today down in the Trop.
Well, it's interesting, too, and I think we also have to take into consideration that at 23-6, Tampa, they've only had three series this year against teams with a winning record. Boston, Toronto, and Houston. And in those series, the Rays are 6-4 in those games. So here comes Pittsburgh, obviously a much better team than what they have faced thus far this year, with a pretty good pitching staff. And like I said, they're going to have to play some defense, Tampa. They're going to have to keep guys off the base pass. I think it's a great measuring stick, a great litmus test for both of these teams, given the fact that both have done a really good job on beating up the less thans in Major League Baseball. But let's see how both of these two teams do against one another, sitting there with the two best teams in baseball.
All right, let's take a look here. The Cubs and the Nationals here. Wisniewski will be on the mound here for the Cubs and Williams for the Nationals. This line is a plus 120 price if you want a dog on the home team here, the Washington Nationals, and a total listed at 8.5. When I do take a look at Wisniewski, it's usually one of the guys I want to pick on here. High xFIP on the season, 5.47, low strikeout percentage, and he's a right-handed pitcher that absolutely gets knocked around from the left-hand side. 384 weighted on base percentage show with an ISO of 282. But here's the argument sometimes when you run into a handicapping. Who do you trust more? The numbers for the pitcher who are struggling or the numbers at the plate of the team that's absolutely struggling against right-handed pitching? Typically, Joe, we see it like, hey, you know what? They haven't got out of the gates hot yet against left-handed pitching. They'll see more as the summer goes along. Typically, you always hit right-handed pitching, but that's not the case here for the Washington Nationals. Looking at the lineup, Candelario in the 5-hole anticipated, Joe, a 219 ISO power number, which is very good. Every single other batter in the lineup below market average going up against right-handed pitching. How do you weigh that out? Like, even if you say, okay, I have an edge on the Cubs today, but how do you weigh out a pitcher struggles, but then you have a lineup that really struggles? Who could win out in that?
Well, you know, and the problem is with Wisniewski here for Chicago is part of a rotation that has allowed two or fewer runs in 12 mm-hmm. of their 15 wins. So what's happening is that the Cubs are figuring out ways to win by not having to come back from ridiculous deficits, right? And you've got Washington now as a team that has, I believe, only scored more than one run or has failed to score more than one run in 8 games this year already. And the problem is they've only played 28 games, and 8 of them they couldn't get more than a run here, Donnie. So we've got issues in the lineup, and they're going up against a team that, yeah, they don't like giving up a ton of runs. So something has got to give in this game. And I will say this, Wisniewski, you talked about the numbers. Well, he's got over a 5 ERA, right? He's had some issues. But the problem is the Cubs have won 4 of the 5 games he has started. So he's getting the run support, and Williams and Washington pitchers are not. I can only look at the team that I trust to score some runs, and that would be the Chicago Cubs in this one.
It's funny how psychology works out, right? The Jacob deGroms of the world, you show up at the bar, probably like, what do we need? 2-3 runs? We got this with ease. Probably can get a run line if we score 2 runs here. But then you get pitchers that really struggle. It's like, hey, man, we won 9-8 every time he starts here. Because why? We know we have to get after it at the plate. We'll see how that one gets after. Now, getting after it at the plate, if you want to be kind for the New York Yankees today, they're favorites at minus 168. It's Cole versus Bibby on the mound today, a 7.5 as a total. And if you take a look at Gerrit Cole's numbers on the season, analytics-wise, absolutely fantastic. He's a right-handed pitcher to lefty batters, a 199 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 070. If we take a look to the right-handed batters going up against Gerrit Cole, 66 of those batters, 221 weighted on base percentage, ISO of 051. He's absolutely been locking them down. But the question is always, Bibby is on the mound here. Only 23 batters he's faced. He actually has decent numbers, but who cares who's on the mound if the Yankees can't hit at the plate? But I know you love this. If you just say sometimes yourself, when am I going to get Gerrit Cole at home in the Bronx against a bad lineup and not pay minus 300? Today's your day.
It's the only way it's the only time from now on I'm betting the Yankees. And it's worked so far, 5-0 on the season here. So we're already playing with house money here. I don't see any reason to stop. I'm not worried about the Cleveland lineup, getting to Cole here. So the question is, the rookie Bibby he's dominated in the minors, right? But we know what that means. It doesn't mean anything at the big level here. So maybe an under as well. Maybe a first 5 under might not be a bad play here. But as long as I can get under $2 for Gerrit Cole, it's the only guy I trust to keep Yankees in games enough to be able to win 2-1. And I'm going to do it again here today for him. So give me Cole against a Guardians team that stole one last night.
There you go. Chilly temperatures still up there in the Bronx. We'll see how that plays out tonight. But certainly a minus 168 favorite for Gerrit Cole with how well he's pitching. We'll see how that one lines up tonight. Minnesota and the Chicago White Sox will get underway at 7:10 Eastern. Ryan is on the mound. He's got tremendous numbers this year here for the Minnesota Twins. An xFIP of 3.65, K rate, Joe, close to 30%. And how about these splits? Lefties, 209 weighted on base percentage. Righties, 248. And we talk about that lineup for the Chicago White Sox that has a lot of big names in there, not doing anything at the plate this year. So maybe Ryan goes through them. And also, if you're looking to say, well, hey, you know what? Maybe our lineup isn't so good. We got Michael Kopech, our good young arm out there. Good? You might want to put quotations around that one. 5.59 xFIP, lefty and righty batters. Absolutely torching Kopech today. Is it easy just to back the Twins here? Because bad lineup, bad pitcher usually means bad result.
Pretty easy for me. You know, Kopech is sure. Now, granted, I mean, he faced, I think, what was it, Tampa and Toronto. You know, he's getting hit hard. He's only given up, I think, one home run in 10 on innings over his last couple of starts. The problem with him is he was giving up long ball a lot. But they are putting the barrel on the ball with him, which means he's not missing a whole lot of bats. That's a problem against this Minnesota team. And, you know, in the same vein as we just talked about with Garrett Cole, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, what has Ryan done here to go, well, this could be the time that, you know, hey, you want to fake? Why? Against this Chicago team who is hot trash right now? Absolutely not. I get the better pitcher. I get a team that is reeling, and I get the better lineup. So, yes, I will, under $2, I don't care that they're on the road. I will take Minnesota in a division game in which they have no problem and show no problem beating worse teams than themselves.
By the way, do yourself a favor, because I think it was Eloy Jimenez who ran down the first base. We can say ran down the first baseline. I'm
Roberts,
telling you,
I think it was Roberts.
You say, was it Roberts? Okay.
It was Lewis Roberts, yeah.
When you see a play like that, it is quite astonishing. And it's good to see that even though, like, the players really run these leagues, but to be pulled out of the game immediately after that, I don't even understand. Yep. Like, you are built and you are based on your pay, based on getting on base, hustling, higher averages, RBI scoring runs. And it almost looked like he was like, you know what? Please throw me out here so I don't have to play baseball anymore in Chicago. Do yourself a favor and certainly watch it. It is kind of interesting. Blue Jays and the Red Sox. Kikuchi versus Houck on the mound today. How about the Jays here? A minus 130 favorite and a total. You love to see this. At 10 listed. Both of these pitchers, quality seasons, not really so much. But that must mean that we must be getting some weather conditions up there in Boston, Joe.
Yeah, no. And that's the problem this time of year. Is it not here? And, you know, Toronto, prior to last night's loss, had been dominated the Red Sox, I believe, here. I think Toronto had been on a 9-game winning streak head to head against them. So that walk off for the Red Sox was not a common occurrence against this Toronto Blue Jay team. But they get Houck back. Which is nice. I believe he missed his last start there. And Kikuchi, the lefty, right? How many more times can we look to fade Kikuchi and get burned? He's 4-0 on the season here, Donnie. So what do we do? Well, we take the under in this one and think that maybe this weather is going to play a role in the lack of runs here tonight.
Yeah, 52 degrees. Wind is blowing out at 10 miles an hour, but Kikuchi's a left-handed pitcher here. He actually doesn't get left-handed batters out. He's only faced 12 of them, but he's been dominant against right-handed batters here. Maybe that continues tonight. Now, in the anticipated lineup for the Red Sox, Verdugo, Devers, Yoshida, and Duran look like they're going to be the lefties in the lineup tonight, so we'll see how that plays out. But also, from a flip side here, Houck, who's actually done very well against right-handed pitching himself, has struggled against lefties, but the good part about that is not a lot of left-handed batters in that lineup today for the Toronto Blue Jays. So maybe Joe Ranieri is onto something, taking a look at the under here with the wind blowing out in Boston at 10, as opposed to doing something different and losing. More Major League Baseball up next. Make sure you stay tuned to the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, talking Major League Baseball action. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside here on a Tuesday morning. Let's get back into it. The Baltimore Orioles and the Kansas City Royals. How about this? The O's go on the road as a minus 148 favorite with a total that is listed at 9. And why is that? It's just so simple. When you take a look at some analytical numbers, Yarbrough doesn't really match up all that well for the Kansas City Royals. They are a slight home dog today. Any thoughts between the Orioles and the Royals for you, Joe?
Yeah, give me the Orioles. Although Wells has he's had his issues so far this year, but it's another one of these situations where, Donnie, how can we trust teams that can't score? And that's the problem with Kansas City. We can't get them to hit the ball. We can't trust them offensively enough that even in close games, we might be like, all right, you know, this is the opportunity. Not going to happen here. I like the bullpen of the Orioles, obviously, and I love the balanced lineup that they have. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. I don't think they're going to have a problem beating this Royals team, who's 7-22 on the season.
Yeah, I don't really think so either. You take a look at Wells on the mound, 4.64 xFIP number, which is slightly elevated. He's got some decent K rate here, but he is not a ground ball pitcher. So when those ball gets in the air, chance to leave the yard certainly increases. But when you take a look at his splits, Joe, they're really good for Wells. 45 batters he's faced to the left-hand side, a 209 weighted on base percentage. And Wells is a right-handed pitcher. To righties, how about this? A 221 weighted on base percentage. And you're right. Sometimes it just comes down to what's the power in that lineup here for the Kansas City Royals. It's not much. And if we flip it over to Yarbrough, one of the higher xFIPs that you're going to see for a pitcher with around 70 batters faced, that's at a 7 because his K rate is only 10% here. And if we're taking a look at those splits, he's a lefty. He doesn't get lefties out. To righties, a 337 weighted on base percentage. And looking at the lineup today going up against left-handed pitching for the Orioles, plus guys, Rutschman, Mountcastle, Santander, Mateo, Mullins, and McKenna here. So maybe you're getting a decent price there, even though you are a favorite here with the Baltimore Orioles. Something to keep an eye on here. Angels and the Cardinals, Sandoval versus Mats, a minus 132 favorite here for the Cardinals at home, and a total listed at 9. The Cardinals not playing pretty baseball, to say the least here. Mats on the mound today. Can he resurrect a win here for the Cardinals?
You know, there was a time where we'd be like, oh, Cardinals at Busch Stadium at home, easy. But no, this is not easy. It has not been easy. They are, 10 games out of first already? I think they're in the bottom of that Central Division, 10-19. That was your April with that lineup. Not good. And we're being honest. Do we trust Mats? I mean, I trust Sandoval way more than I trust Mats. Listen, theoretically, you would think with the right-handed lineup there and those big bats for the Cardinals, they should be able to get to the lefty Sandoval, but nothing that I have seen leads me to believe that this lineup and a little home cooking in their own bed is somehow supposed to explode onto the scene here in May. Not buying it. I'm still backing the Angels at plus money.
I think you're right on this one, too, because you take a look at Sandoval. It does have a slightly high xFIP number, but he gets right-handed batters out here. 243 weighted on base percentage. And how about that ISO power number, 086? You look at the lineup from St. Louis here. They haven't hit left-handed pitching all that well. Flip it over to the opposite side here and take a look at Mats on the mound, who's a lefty. He can't get right-handed batters out. A 404 weighted on base percentage outside of Ohtani. Every single projected player in the lineup today for the Angels coming from the right hand side. So how about that? Something to keep an eye on there. Let's take a look at the Giants and the Astros. DeSclafani on the mound for the Giants. Houston Astros going to throw Brown here, their talented young pitcher, and they're a heavy favorite at a minus 168 price, and the total listed at 8. My first inclination here, taking the under.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, the Astro, it was funny. I took the over in that game last night, and I was a little worried about that. And then fortunately enough, Houston ended up scoring enough runs there late to get it done. But they are going to need Brown to show up in a big way here with your Quitty being placed already on the 10-day IL list with shoulder inflammation. They've already lost, Garcia? So they've got some issues. They're going to need Brown to come up big here. And I'm kind of with you. DeSclafani quietly, Donnie, you know this.
Yeah.
Striking out a ton, not putting a whole lot of guys on base, keeping the ball in the ballpark, and keeping the Giants in games maybe that they shouldn't have been. So I do think this is going to be a great pitching matchup, one in which I am looking at the first 5 under, so I don't have to deal with these bullpens of either team, although Presley pitched again last night, so I'm guessing he won't be available to close anything for the Astros here in this one.
Yeah, no surprise there. DeSclafani gets away from Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati and goes to some pitcher's ballparks and actually improves his game. But if we take a look here at Houston, Brown is on the mound. He's been very good this year. Look at his splits here. 58 batters he's faced, Joe, from the left side. A 212 weighted on base percentage. Righties, a 292. So nothing happening there, even with ISO power. But here's the interesting part about this. You wouldn't think of this because the Giants haven't been very good this season, but he gets right-handed pitching. The anticipated lineup tonight, 8-plus batters, Joe. When we take a look at weighted on base percentage, you want that to be about 325 or higher. Take a look at this. Wade, 430. Estrada, 447. Peterson, 337. Haniger, 496. Conforto, 333. Davis, 449. Sable, 367. And Bart, 436. Something has to give here, but still, I'm hoping the pitcher wins out in this environment here and still sitting on the under 8, but it's just interesting to see a really good pitcher on the mound versus a lineup that has been absolutely mashing against right-handed pitching here. Milwaukee and Colorado next year up on the docket for us, and that's going to be Peralta versus Feltner, a favorite here for the Brewers on the road at a minus 162 price. The total, very Coors-like, sitting at 11. Any thoughts on Peralta, Feltner, Brewers, Rockies?
Peralta been pretty good here, no? And I do believe he's not actually pitched that bad against this Colorado team in Colorado. But boy, oh boy, the Brewers, with some injury concerns of their own, have been a pleasant surprise here, Donnie. Have they not? I faded this team this year, thought that, yeah, this was going to get ugly by July, that, Corbin Burns might actually be in a different uniform when it's all said and done. But they have gotten off to an 18-10 start on the year. And if we're being realistic, I get the edge on the mound with Peralta, who's been around the block. And I may have just the better lineup here. So I don't see any reason to try and fade the Brewers in here. I also don't see any reason to try to sweat out any sort of under in this game either there, Donnie.
If we take a look, 65 degrees at first pitch, 11 mile an hour winds blowing out the right field at Coors Stadium. But keep in mind, there is some precipitation in the air. So something to keep an eye on. And, you know, that thin Coors air. We can't wait. Look, come on. Give me to July, Joe. 92 degrees out there in Coors.
I'm
blowing
you
out. We'll have a lot of fun there. Let's take a look at the Reds and the Padres doing it again tonight. Ashcroft will be on the mound here for the Reds and Waka for the Padres. Now, the Padres are a monster favorite here at a minus 198 total listed at 8.5. Is that price worth paying for Michael Waka and the Padres tonight?
Well, it's the question is, are you wanting to back a Reds team outside of the Great American Ballpark? And the answer is no. I absolutely do not want to have to back the Reds and expect them to hit outside of the Great American Ballpark. Why? Well, they can't. And they have shown that time and time again here, Donnie. So when you look at this, and Waka had a couple of pretty good starts to start the year. And then, you know, he had a couple of his last couple of starts haven't been great. Ashcroft, young guy, great arm, gets a lot of love in the marketplace because of the stuff he has. But man, this Padres lineup, they started to put it together again last night. I get a better bullpen edge. I get the better lineup. I don't see any reason in fading the Padres in this one at all. I'll back Waka here early and often.
Yeah, top five there in the lineup here for the Padres certainly is very nice to look at, and the numbers certainly back it up. Tatis, Machado, Soto, Bogarts, and Carpenter there doing some damage. But if we flip it over to Michael Waka, he has struggled this year. 5.26 xFIP number, lefty and righties. Look at these splits. To lefties, a 415 weighted on base percentage. To righties, a 374. But it's just a matter of those ISO power numbers are terrible for the Reds here. We'll see if we can get some runs tonight, but certainly something to keep an eye on with Michael Waka. Philadelphia and Los Angeles, the late nightcap tonight, and that's between Urias on the mound here for the Dodgers and Strom on the mound for the Phillies. Now, you might say that Strom, Urias, that is a massive, you know, swing in one direction. Strom's actually been really good for the Phillies this year. 3.50 xFIP, a K rate of 36%. Left-handed batters, a 201 weighted on base percentage. Righties, a 228. So they should be able to hang around, but here's the key. Urias is on the mound. He gets right-handed batters out decently. Not so much left-handed batters, but you're going to see a majority of righties in the lineup. But how about this? Bryce Harper anticipated to be, Joe, in the three-hole tonight for those Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, and listen, Urias has had some issues here the last couple of starts, has he not? Cubs, I believe, was one of them. Pirates was the other, and they roughed him up. At least 11 runs. 11 runs he gave up in the last two starts. So the stuff has been a little less than exceptional here. And going up against the Phillies lineup that got just that much better here tonight. Strom knows his team pretty well, too, right, from his days with the Padres. So it's not like he doesn't understand who this Dodgers team is, and the moment's not going to be too big for him. It's kind of hard to look and say, hey, maybe a bounce-back situation here for Philadelphia. The thing that's carried them, Donnie, and you notice, has been their bats, right? Mm-hmm. Early on in the season here, as they're still trying to figure out the back end of that bullpen, obviously. But, I think they'll have no problem going toe-to-toe here, and they'll have a little extra juice knowing Harper is back in that lineup. But it's going to be interesting to monitor this Urias thing. For him to give up those kinds of runs to those mm-hmm. two teams the last two starts, worth keeping an eye on here in this one.
Yeah, if you take a look at Urias, too, on the season, 18 batters, which isn't a lot, he's faced from the left-hand side, a 514 weighted on base percentage and an ISO 438. So in that wheelhouse for lefties, anticipating the lineup, Stott, Harper, Schwarber, and also Marsh. Now, it will be interesting to see what we see out of Bryce Harper tonight, but if we're looking at those combinations where Urias has struggled against left-handed batters, home run shots, Kyle Schwarber, plus 320, Bryce Harper at a plus 390. Now, we know it's in Los Angeles, right? The perfect spot for Bryce Harper to come back. Plus 390 price to hit an anytime home run for Harper. Something that you're looking forward to, because the one thing that we do know about Harper, he's not going in there to get his cuts and say, hey, let me go the other way with a single here. He's probably going to come back on the grand stage in LA and swing from his heels. And he looks at that plus 390 for Bryce Harper there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would say no. But let's not forget Will Smith, Peralta, Jason Hayward, Mookie Betts, all homered last night. The weather is supposed to be pretty much the same here tonight. So, yeah, I wouldn't go near it. I wouldn't expect a lot, but the way the ball was flying out last night, same kind of night tonight. We could be in for a couple of runs here, Donnie.
Yeah, take a look at an 8 also. The juice on that, plus 100 if you think you get runs. We got a lot of runs last night. We'll see if that continues tonight. Two good-looking lineups here. And also, as we talk about Los Angeles, the Writers Guild of America going on strike here. Maybe somebody handed in early. Oh, yeah, Bryce Harper is supposed to hit a home run on his return tonight. And also, where's LA fans going tonight? What are they watching, Joe Ranieri? The Lakers? Are they watching the Dodgers? Big night here overall. We covered it over the past 2 hours. And once again, Joe Ranieri, an absolute pros pro here today with us. And the good part about it, the early line will have Joe Ranieri once again on a Wednesday morning to recap everything and certainly take a look at those monster Major League Baseball cards. Thank you, Joe Ranieri. I'll close out the show coming up next with This Is Why They Play the Games.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment of the day here for the early line on a Tuesday morning right here on the Sports Grid Network Sirius XM channel 159. Donnie Wrightside today, Joe Ranieri going over the last 2 hours of everything you need in order to set the table for the rest of your Sports Grid day, which includes the morning after coming up next with Ben Stevens. So many hot topics to hit on today. The Philadelphia 76ers with an amazing performance over the, or should I say, James Harden's amazing performance for the Philadelphia 76ers in their win over the Boston Celtics. Had some good Major League Baseball action last night. We also talked about for the New York Mets what's looking forward here. Max Scherzer coming back off a suspension. Verlander getting a start on Thursday. So the aces are back intact. And also the Philadelphia Phillies tonight getting Bryce Harper back into their lineup against the Los Angeles Dodgers late night, and a doubleheader that is certainly going to provide today in the NBA. Hopefully a profitable night. But the one thing I do want to talk about is so many times in sports, and I do it myself because I'm a human being, I write teams off and series off like I did with the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. Listen up. Hey, quiet. This is why they play the games. It's why we don't play them on a computer. It's why we don't take a look and say the better team always wins out, because they don't. Yesterday, watching the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics, I think the Celtics shot like 30 for 30 in the first quarter against the Philadelphia 76ers without any rim protector, which would have been Joel Embiid, who we don't even know when he's coming back in this series. It would have been easy just to think a walk-away victory in game one for the Celtics, which meant a walk-away victory in game two, and maybe the Sixers steal one at home, but a five-game gentleman sweep looks like we were headed for. Now, granted, we still might get a gentleman sweep here in the Sixers-Celtics series, but last night, if you would have told me the Sixers would go on the road and win outright because James Harden went nuclear, I probably would not have believed you in that environment. But that's what makes sports so, so great. Even look at the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers. Devils down 0-2 in their own building, and then end up winning the series in game seven. Sports are fantastic, and they never play out the way sometimes you think they should. Stay tuned for Ben Stevens in the Morning After coming up next, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.